What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to episode 119 of Cali Brick Click. And remember, you can find this episode and all previous episodes anywhere you find your podcast: Apple, Spotify, soon to be YouTube Music. Oh, I got it right. And iHeart. I have my Invisalign in, so I have a little bit of list, so I'm sorry about that. But like always, we have Claire, the plastic architect.
Hello.
We have Ninja.
Sheesh. And speaking of YouTube Music, shout out to everyone that dropped some comments or took any part of last week's video.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate the love behind that video. That literally, that video has been stuck in the back of my mind for like 2 years since the music dropped for the intro. But regardless of the fact, we can talk about that later. Today, yeah. We have a special guest, Epic Briggs. How's it going, man?
I'm doing really well, man. Thanks for having me on. This is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first interaction we've actually had with you. So this is kind of exciting to get to know who you are. So like, just let's get straight to it. Who are you?
So my name is Nathan Sadek. I make Lego content on the internet. I have been for about the last 3.5 years now. I got my start on TikTok, and then I kind of, you know, expanded into the other social medias, as everybody does and should do as a content creator. And then, let's say about a couple months into making my first couple of TikToks, I think I started and made my first TikTok in October of 2019, and then kind of posted sporadically, maybe a couple times a month up until January. And that's when, if you guys were on TikTok early enough, you would remember the Lego Star Wars profile picture trend that happened, or maybe it happened on other socials, but basically half of TikTok, if not more, had Lego Star Wars profile pictures from the Lego Star Wars game, how they had like all the little characters. And that trend went off, and I basically started using that hashtag. I was already creating Lego content anyway, so I was like, oh, this is the perfect opportunity. It's like, basically, Lego is popularized on TikTok at this very moment. So I started posting heavily and kind of grew from there. And I got my first like couple thousand followers in January of 2020. And that was like a couple months into my start, and then kind of just took off after that.
And you're like at 1 million right now, right? Last I checked.
On TikTok, 1.2 million, yes.
Wow.
Which is crazy, because it's still like something that even to this day, it doesn't like fully land. Like I'm humbled by it every day, but it still doesn't even, like, I can't like comprehend how many people that is.
What was the like landscape of Lego TikTok when you came in?
It was definitely barren. I mean, there wasn't let me get this straight. There wasn't no Lego content on the app, but it was mostly random and posted by random accounts. And from what I could see at the time, and from what I saw as I grew, there was nobody that was on the platform as a Lego specific creator. So essentially, I like to think of myself as the first Lego creator on TikTok, but I'm sure that's debatable if someone really went back on the nitty gritty. But as far as notoriety, I think I definitely came in with the early factor. And that's definitely what helped with a lot of my growth, too, is being early in a place where there was a lot of ability to grow organically, which is TikTok in general. So it just worked out.
Before we dive heavily into your history with TikTok and content creation, like, what's your Lego story first, just so we get a little
background? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So my Lego story in general, basically, I started collecting Lego as early as I mean, my parents bought it for me, obviously, but ever since still I was counts. Like 1, 2, 3, you know, they were buying me Duplo. And then as soon as I hit that age of graduating from Duplo to Lego, they did that naturally and started buying me Lego sets. And some of the first like Lego sets I remember having were some of I can't remember what they're called. They weren't the Bionicle, but they were like the precursor to Bionicle. They were like the Throwbots, I think they were called. And so I remember getting a lot of those as my original, like, first ever Lego sets. But then as far as what I remember would be years later when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, was Rock Raiders, Adventurers, and then eventually Lego Star Wars in 1999 when that came out. My brother, he was the main drive in the reason we had Lego Star Wars sets, because I was more into Harry Potter and some of the Adventurers stuff that was still coming out. And my brother, thank goodness, because I still have a bunch of the figs and sets from then. But he ended up getting, we had like the original, what's it called? The Turbo Tank and stuff like that. Some really good sets. And then I hit my Lego Dark Ages right about the age of 14, right around there, give or take a year. It's just started to fade out, kind of like some of us do. And then I didn't get back into Lego until about 10 to 12 years later when I was 26 years old. I'm 30 now, by the way. And 26 years old, I believe, was about the like right when I got back into Lego. And I went back. Luckily, my parents still had all the stuff that I had from when I was a kid. Like my mom was one of those people that refused to sell it. She was like, you know, it's going to your grandkids or someone or something or other. And I'm glad she did, because eventually, obviously, I got it back and it sprung the inspiration and whole everything that is that I am today. But that started the reselling, because after I started sorting all of my personal collection out and all that stuff, I started to want to buy sets and buy more Lego. And I was like, oh, there's a bunch of good deals locally. And I started figuring out real quick that you could find a good deal, keep some stuff, sell the rest of it, and usually make your money back, if not more, especially if you were selling it on a marketplace. That's why I eventually got on BrickLink. And a year after I got back into Lego, I started on BrickLink. And then about a maybe 6 months after that, I started TikTok. So like that was like, so kind of went starting to collect, starting to resell, getting on BrickLink. And then I started doing kind of like some reselling content on TikTok, and then kind of evolved that into just more general tips and tricks, you know, just anything I found interesting kind of deal.
Was it inspiration again on TikTok so you can promote your BrickLink, or was it just I was just bored at that time?
No, it was more I had inspiration mostly, if you know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, Gary V's an entrepreneur. He posts a lot of like motivational type content, and at the time I had been watching his Instagram already for like a year, and he's always talking about like, you know, if you have an idea or you have a passion, you know, there's always a way to, you know, if you want to make a living out of it, you totally can. And at the time he was really talking about how TikTok was a engine for growth, because this was like, we're talking like 2018, 2019, way back, like when TikTok was super early. So he was talking about how good an idea it is to get on the platform if you were looking to do something. And I was like, you know, I'm really into Lego. I'd love to like just do that. So not, it wasn't necessarily the reselling that drove it, the content. It was more just the overall, because like I said, once I got into Lego again and got it all, I got into everything. I got sidetracked by reselling. I just love the just kind of like the trade of Lego reselling specifically, not any other. I don't like to deal with any other sort of, like I don't go to Goodwill for anything else but Lego, but it's definitely a mixture of things that drove my inspiration for starting content, on top of just wanting to kind of share my interest. Cause when I was starting to collect, I started to figure out all these, you know, troubleshooting issues that a lot of, you know, collectors start to have, like, how do you sort it? How do you wash it? How do you dust it? All this kind of questions that you see frequently as a content creator. And I just like to answer all those and share my take on it. Cause you know, it was a hurdle that I had to get over. If I can help someone else figure it out quicker in the community, then it's a bonus for, you know, a positive video for me.
Right. Plus everyone has their own unique way of doing it. So,
I mean, the trash can thing is a very ingenious.
Oh, from my Lego washing video with the, yeah, that was just cause I'm looking to like, you know, I was looking to wash in bulk, and I'm like, I need a strainer, but I need like a big one. So that was basically my simple $5-6 solution.
What's like the main like story you're telling on TikTok? Is it mainly just like tips and tricks? And you diversify your content.
That's the thing, is the way I describe myself in general as a content creator, and this not just for TikTok, but for kind of everything I do. It's a little bit of everything. That's kind of what I was saying, is anything that I find interesting, I'll try to find a way to make that into a piece of content. So whether that's a really expensive piece or a really expensive minifigure, because when I found out about it, I was like, holy crap, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? So my line of thought is, if I think that's interesting and I'm a Lego fan, then obviously other Lego fans, big or small, if they don't already know about this, would probably find it pretty interesting. So I just like to share that kind of stuff. And then with tips and tricks, again, it's just anything that I can find helpful to help other people. But I like to describe myself as an all around Lego content creator. There's not any specific niche. Now I do have my, you know, series that I do in different specific video types and video formats that I do for TikTok, but I'm always trying to experiment and come up with like, you know, new content ideas, you know, maybe something that's more a little bit of a meme or something that's a little more, you know, let's call it like in the realm of Mr. Beast, where I'm just trying to do something crazy. Like that's almost what I thought of like the sun experiment, where I'm just leaving a Lego base plate out in the sun for a year straight. That just has like shock value when you hear it, you know, oh my, let's see it. I got to see how this pans out. And so that wasn't even intentional. That was just honestly what was funny about that idea is I put that off for months just because it was like I was being lazy. I had other ideas that I was doing. I was like, you know, I should leave a base plate out in my backyard. I live in Arizona. It'd be really easy to just leave it there and see what happens. And then like months and months later, I finally got it, you know, just formulated it all together, started making my first video of it, and it got like millions of views. I'm like, oh, I wish I did that sooner, I guess. So no, you never know which ideas are going to be good ideas and bad ideas. So that's why I try to experiment and try, you know, a little bit of everything.
And you're diversified right now. You also share on Instagram and YouTube. Did you have a how was that transition and or like throwing yourself in a different platform?
Didn't get a lot of traction at first, but then like the reels started to like became a thing, and then all that stuff. And that's when the other platform, that's when I don't even think I posted much content on Instagram until they had reels. My struggle has mostly been making long form content because the short form content comes naturally. You know, now that you've got YouTube shorts and Instagram reels, I basically create one native video on my phone and then I'm able to post that everywhere with no watermark. So it's really nice and efficient. And then, you know, let's say a person on YouTube asks a really good question in the comments on a video. You know, I'll answer that question in a video, pull that into the, you know, the master video, and then that gets re-uploaded onto all the other platforms. So I kind of get ideas and inspiration that bounces around from each platform that I can also use everywhere. So it's really nice in that aspect because I kind of have, you know, people commenting everywhere, and there could be that, you know, person that asks the right question that, you know, makes a really good explanation video. But otherwise, for me, it's been really tough to, because for, you know, doing TikTok for 3+ years, you're doing minute or less videos 99% of the time, at least in my case. So it's figuring out not just the formatting, but I mean, it's the shots. It's taking shots. It's way different trying to set the, even just the little things and formatting everything. And I kind of just got to, my thing is I kind of just got to take it the way I did with TikTok. Because when I started TikTok, I also had zero experience with posting any sort of production quality or quality, you know, content as like, you know, from a content creator's perspective. And it took me definitely months to even, you know, get to a point. If you can go onto my TikTok literally, and it takes a while, but you can scroll all the way back down to my first ever videos posted. And they're not pretty, you know what I mean? So I kind of just need to get into posting long form content and kind of being okay with it not being great to start, and then, you know, moving into a more, you know, veteran of a content creator in the long form aspect.
So I'm starting to see reviewers, Tiago is one of them, start reviewing sets in like a reel or a short as opposed to a long form 8-minute video, like, you know, most YouTubers try to achieve at that time. Do you have an equation when you have or film a short form content
for certain videos? Because with the amount of experimentation I've done with video formats and video ideas, like my part value videos, those are formulated in the way where I really focus on the hook, where the video starts, you know, would you believe that this piece of plastic is worth, you know, X amount of dollars, you know, hundreds of dollars. That's, you know, a good quick hook. And then the rest of it is just me explaining the information that I feel is pertinent about the set or item or figure or whatever it is, and a little bit of backstory. And it's basically just cutting it down to the nitty gritty. And I guess that's just become natural over time, because what I find difficult is stretching it out, because I feel like when I'm making a YouTube video, I'm like, I feel like half the things I would be saying, I'm like, I wouldn't be saying in a TikTok, because that's just too much fluff for a TikTok. But in a YouTube video, I'm like, do people want that kind of insight? And do people want that kind of extra monologue dialogue from me? Or is it more about the content in general? So I just kind of have a struggle with figuring out the long form content.
I think it depends. I think that's like a really good way of looking at it, because my gut instinct is to be like, no, it's like if it's like verbose, honestly, it doesn't have to obviously be as fast as like a quick TikTok. But if you're verbose, I think you're answering your own question. Do you know what I mean? If like, if you're like, I'm repeating myself, or this is too much information, that's like a check. You know what I mean? And I think you can look at like the really popular YouTubers out there. You can take a sliver of what they're doing, and it's at the same pace as a lot of TikTokers, I think, at the same time as short form content. So it's almost like you're almost doing the same formula. There's a really short intro, and that really short intro is supported by a story arc that's told over a short amount of time. That story arc isn't repetitive, but it's clean and it's straightforward. And that like same strategy, that same formula needs to be applied to a long form like content. Easier said than done, obviously. Like, you know, yeah. Like I just started changing up my videos and I am struggling to go past 5 minutes. Like I cannot get an 8 minute video, which is like, you know, that's the magic number with YouTube so that you can get those mid-roll ads. But like, I cannot, and I'm making the conscious decision to like cut myself off and be like, I'm not going to be verbose because that's not worth the lack of audience retention. It's not worth the lack, you know what I mean? Like, so that's like my logic, at least with it. I don't know. I think it's like, it's really interesting because there are obviously like content creators out there who can be more verbose and like people want that. But I think that patience for people repeating themselves is probably going to go away.
I don't know what kind, I'm not a big browser of YouTube in general. I don't like go out there and even in, you know, when I was a teenager, totally, I was on YouTube every day. But these days, you know, and I don't want to start to create content that, you know, is I believe is original, but it's like, there's a lot of content out there, especially in the Lego world, obviously. And I don't want to like step on any toes creating content that I believe to be original, but is like, you know, someone's art, that's their niche, is they make those videos every week kind of deal or something like that. Someone starts like, oh, Epic Bricks ripped off this idea or something. Like, and I'm not like worried about it, but at the same time, I try to be respectful in that nature.
I don't think anybody's ever like, any mature YouTuber has really been annoyed by anybody copying their stuff.
So. As long as it's not
like,
word
as long as it's
word.
Not like verbatim. Exactly, you know what I mean? If you put your own twist to it, you have a little bit more, like, you know, your the way you're doing it's a little slightly different to your own style and, you know, your own verbiage, I think it's totally fine.
One of the things that I'm a little unsure of is with YouTube compared to, because with TikTok I've gotten away with it, not that it's a bad thing, but the variety of my content on TikTok, does that work on YouTube? Where if you have, you know, I plan on doing like garage sale vlogs and goodwill hunting vlogs, but I also plan on doing like, you know, videos that wouldn't even show my face or anything. It would just be animations and talking information and stuff like that. I plan, like, does that kind of work, or is it you do kind of got to stick to a niche format and recording style to kind of stay
in general?
This is on YouTube.
In general, I would say yes, like from observation, but like, what is the consistency, right? Is the consistency you as an individual? Is the consistency like the formatting of the video? Is it the topic of the video, right? So I think when people choose the former, which is like the individual, like you would be the consistent one, I think that tends to have a little bit slower growth, but it's still, you know, still good. Like, people are invested in you as an individual. So there's like value there, but it's kind of like a grind. Do you know what I mean? In like a really hard way, which is honestly the complete opposite of your experience on TikTok. You know what I mean? Which is like what TikTok is. I'm not saying it's not a grind, but there's like a lot of like,
well, there's a lot of left, less pen to paper and editing and kind of like mental work in that aspect.
Yeah. And I think you get your dopamine rushes, you know, in like a way that motivates you to kind of keep going, because it's like proven that dopamine like motivates human beings to keep moving forward. And so with YouTube, sometimes you like don't get that, and it can be really like a drag. It can be a pretty big drag. Yeah. Which, and so, I don't know. I think like pick what you want to do, pick what you want to watch. It's hard that you said that you like don't really browse, you don't really like watch a lot of YouTube. I think that's when it gets like tough, you know, like for us, like for me, I'm like, I don't really watch a lot of short form content. So like, I think I don't even know where to start. Like it does not come naturally for me to do a short form video. Yeah. And so could be my age, could be like my attention span. It could be like what it is that I'm looking for in social media. But yeah. So I completely understand. So like to like try to go and do short form content, I'm, you know, I'm going to be like stumbling hard, you know, for a while, but I feel like consuming it is probably the best first step, which means taking time away from the short form content. I'm curious, like, for the longevity of a social media career, and I'm assuming you want to do this full time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, do you feel like you have to do long form content, or do you feel like you can?
No, and that's the thing is I don't feel like I have to. Okay, cool. Actually, it's more of experimental. I want to see how it goes. I want to try my hand at it, see if I'm any good, see if it works out. Obviously, the better, more content I put out, the more of a likelihood of doing this forever and, you know, continuously is more. So I want to do that. Absolutely. It's just more of a hurdle in figuring it out, because, you know, I've done most of my growing on YouTube from the shorts on there anyway that I've been posting over the last several months. I think I grew from just on long form content, which was great, but I grew to like about, I think it was 8,000 subscribers, and I wasn't posting often, but it was amazing. And then I started posting the shorts when they opened those up, and I went from 8 or 9,000, and now I'm at 55,000 subs on YouTube. And that's essentially all from shorts, because I haven't posted a long form video, and I won't think in that entire time. So it's definitely interesting. Like, it's good to know that if I really wanted to, I could crack down on maybe making more YouTube specific short form content. Because what I have noticed is when I do actually scroll through YouTube shorts every once in a while to get an idea of what I'm going up against there, kind of deal. And I've noticed that it is, like you said, it's people like Tiago who are, they're changing their long, not that they're clipping long form content, but that they're actually starting to like redo some of their, you know, reviews or this, and they're making it into a short form video, and they're really well edited, you know, very nice looking. And it's just one of those things, like, I need to get a little bit more on top of that, because I edit on my phone, so it's pretty basic for the most part. So I'd like to get, and that's the other problem I have with long form content, is most of the time you need to be doing that on PC to have any sort of, like, you know, usefulness to it. So that's definitely a learning curve for me.
We kind of mentioned this a couple of times already. There is, especially last episode, that there is a barrier of entry when it comes to long form content now on YouTube. Like, it's very hard to grow if the quality of what you're showing isn't there. It can happen. Yeah. Nothing, it doesn't. And, you know, at least now with the influx of creators that have arrived onto YouTube, there are a good number of them who come in with quality content visually and through audio as well. So at that point, it comes down to actually what they're saying and showing that keeps people from, you know, either returning or not. So to come in with not that level of skill set, it's like you really have to bring it with what you're projecting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like one thing to consider. So I'm not saying that you need to go out and go buy an expensive, you know, MacBook Pro or an iMac or like this really a $1,500 DSLR. Like, you don't need to do that. You know, you can do slow growth over time. It's just what avenues that you could budget now to affect something that's better than your phone. But I mean, like I said, a lot of people do great things with just their phone. So it's not.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. At all. Full believer in that.
Mm-hmm. So editing wise though, it's just easier on a PC, but you could.
Oh yeah. That's my only worry about is it's a little bit easier when you're editing long form content to have it not just like all little buttons, because even doing short form content, it can get annoying, you know, pressing all those little tabs and time tabs and stuff with your thumbs. It can get a little frustrating trying to get it exactly where you need it, because you can't, you know, you're not on a mouse on a cute, like on your like pad with like a million miles to like dial it in.
If you're doing well editing at short form on your phone, just imagine how better your long form would be if you
put time into it,
put more time into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you look at it that way, then it's worth investing into it. And you don't, like I said, you don't have to go crazy at first.
I think that's where I'm at is I was, you know, not the greatest short form creator at first, but I stuck it out, got good. And now I'm at a point where I'm comfortable and I'm afraid to suck. Do you know, does that make sense? Like it's something that everybody has to get over, you know, especially if you're doing something new, you can't be afraid to do bad at it, because that's what you have to do to get good at it.
As Claire says, don't put crappy content out there. Like, actually try before you post something. Go into it knowing that this is the best you can do at the time of when you're doing it.
Yeah.
So like don't just put something out like, oh, this is not gonna do well, but oh well. Like, actually try.
Ty is referring to is like a lot, like we've had a lot of conversations in the past of like people being like, yeah, I just like started my channel and I was doing these crappy reviews and now I have like 300,000 followers or whatever. And it's like that, I feel like that space doesn't really exist anymore. Do you know what I mean? You can't just like kind of come in and like do a crappy review of like whatever with like poor lighting on your like on a shaky phone, you know, like that. I feel like that space in Lego, I feel like it's gone. And I'm sure I'm curious, like, if you think that time also has passed with TikTok, you know what I mean?
I mean, that was even true since the beginning. Like, yeah, anything can go viral from anybody's setup and from any like production quality standpoint, but for the most part you don't see a lot of those videos go viral that are like hey guys, like, right. look at this, you know, right. this is set number, blah, blah, and very right. monotone, like, kind of deal where it's like, not, I don't want to say bad, but lower quality on the end of the spectrum. And you don't generally don't see that kind of content, even right. in Lego, at least, because you gotta, and that's what I kind of like take my content ideas into account, is I'm trying to make something that's not just interesting for a Lego fan, but a Lego fan plus everybody else, the general average person. Right. Because on TikTok especially, and on any short form platform where it's got that algorithm working for you, you get a viral video. And I'm sure this is true for YouTube and Instagram, but on TikTok, when you have a video that's outside of your normal range by any means, like let's say your normal is 100,000 and you get 1 million views on your next video, 99% of those views came from the For You page, not your not the people following.
Right. It's the same thing on YouTube. Yeah.
That's the thing, is you think you're trying to make content for Lego fans, and it's like you are to an extent, but no, you're trying to make it for everybody. Where I feel like that might be different on YouTube long form.
It's not.
Where you're absolutely, no, you're trying, is it still generalized?
It's
you
the
think?
Same. It's the same thing. So if you like go look at like the biggest content creators, and when I say the biggest, I mean like the new ones, it's like, you know, TD Bricks, Sacred Bricks, blah blah blah. The people that watch
those.
Yeah. So the people that watch that content, they're a lot of younger kids. Yeah. But they're like, they're not
you always forget that there's always a new, bigger than the previous generation coming into the hobby and into the world and onto the internet. And that's crazy.
Right. And so those guys, like their audiences, they're not like been watching Ryan for 10 years and are, you know, strong Star Wars fans. Like if you look, like a lot of those guys don't even do content with IPs. Like it's just like general Lego content. It's just like weird things, cursed Lego figures, like whatever it is. This is like random Lego facts you never knew, stuff like that. And so, which honestly is like the most, like a Lego set review is like the most specific that you can get for the Lego community. And like what they do, they're just like general, they're like top 10 videos is really what it is. And so, you know, and you could say that like your videos where you're like,
what you're talking about, I mean, that's basically what I do on TikTok is I am like the little bit of everything, the crazy this, crazy that, just captivating. Yeah. And so if you say that works for YouTube, I mean, then I could totally adjust to that. But
you could totally adjust that. The only problem is the amount of editing and cuts and whatever.
Oh, because they do that Mr. Beast style editing where it's very every 2 to 3 seconds they got something flying in your face.
Honestly, I wouldn't.
That's what I'm not experienced with.
I wouldn't even associate it with Mr. Beast. I would like honestly like think about
how much is it to hire someone per video on something like that.
I mean, like it's, a lot of money. But if someone knows what they're doing and they're smart enough, a lot of money. Unless there's some idiot high schooler, which is very possible that you could get. But like I think the reality though, it's like you're. When you're doing that quick content, that means you've made the decision. It's not like you're not just like Mr. Beast. It means I'm going after a target demographic that likes short form content, that likes quick content, and which it makes sense, like a transition. I do want to go back to what you said though, really quickly. You know how you're like, I don't want to do crap content. I've already like set like my expectations for myself at this point, blah, blah, blah. From my perspective, from long form content creators, the expectation for short form content creators to transition to long form is low. So like the bar is to be honest, because like we know how long it takes to do long form content and like versus short form. We know the skill set is completely different. Mm-hmm. So if the bar is low, I don't know how you motivate yourself, but for me, I'm like, if the bar is low, I can only do better than what's expected. Do you know what I mean? And so like if you have a critical eye and if you analyze like what the meta is and like what you want to achieve, then like you're only going to do better than what's expected, because like people are going to expect you to do well on Reels, on Shorts, and on TikTok, because like that's what you do, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not going to, maybe like your fandom might, but like creators, I guess it's like, do you want respect from yourself, from creators, or from your fandom? And then that's where the question lies. And if it's going to come from creators, they're going to know that you don't know how to do long form content, because like
this TikToker is getting over here. Well, now.
We're not trying to be degrading at all. It's not like that. It's just
not like a negative way.
They see like, oh, he's fumbling around. He doesn't necessarily know what he's doing.
Not even that. It's more just like, it's a different skill set. You know what I mean? Like, just like I told you, I have no idea how to do short form content.
Because I've had plenty of people reach out to me to help with short form because they're long form right. and they just don't get it. And like, I'd be happy to just spill
it's
my
exactly
brain.
It's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing the other way around. It's just like, okay. you know, as much time as you've spent looking at short form content, there's people who've been doing it for longer on long form because that's been around longer, right? So it's like, that's the thing. And I think like if you're like, I don't want to screw up, it's like, you're not going to screw up. Just like, you know, just do your best, you know? I don't know. Not if you need a motivational pep talk from me.
No, I totally do. I actually do.
Plus your short form content is already doing good, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you have that established niche. Yeah.
But it's right short form, so it's...
Well, I mean, I've said in the past, like, you know, people who do short form content, you have a really good skill set on its own. Like, you're able to take something, you know, as mundane, as long, and shrink it to something interesting and entertaining. And that's hard to do amongst itself with long form content creators before TikTok. And so, you know, like the emergence of the short attention span, the flashiness, you know, it kind of created this new space. I mean, obviously Mr. Beast had a lot to do with that, but like creators like that, it kind of changed up the way, you know, people make content. And I tell people all the time, like, you have 8 seconds to keep people from clicking off your video. So what are you doing in that 8 seconds to the next 8 seconds to keep me from not clicking off the video?
Yeah, so, it's like you had to refresh.
Mm-hmm,
this,
so
it's like this thing that's constantly ticking down. Mm-hmm, you've got to refresh it before.
You have 8 seconds. So
before it hits the bottom.
Is that B-roll? Is that, you know, a new topic? Is that what you're saying? Is there an emphasis? So there's, you know, there's a bunch of things you can check off as you're continuing on to whatever you're talking about. So, you know, just keeping that in mind, like, which you should be able to do. So just if you look at it as a form as like, okay, I want to talk about A, B, and C to accomplish, you know, the overall video. How do I continue every 8 seconds till I get to B, or at least make it interesting enough to make it to B? And that if that only sense. Takes like 2 minutes, then it took 2 minutes, but it's a lot better than you did with 20 seconds.
Okay.
You know, so I mean that usually helps. So that's my formula really when I make videos, and I'm not the best video, but I'm proud of the videos that I make. Like, like I said, I have an outline. That's what I do. And it's somewhat scripted parts. I record up to 30 minutes and then I shave like it's cool. My A footage of me just talking. And then I add B-roll to it to make it interesting, or I cut stuff out or change stuff around until I have your something timing. That I'm proud of. Yeah, the timing also. Pace of it is very important. And like Claire's doing really good at that with our last three videos.
It's, you know, it's interesting to watch. Have you heard TikTok has added like a new fund for minute plus videos? So you can enter like a separate fund as a creator, and you only get paid if you make a minute plus video, then it's eligible. But it's interesting because they're pushing vertical long form essentially, because, you know, that minute's going to get, you know, they're going to push for longer and longer and longer because they want to compete with YouTube in general. And that's the only way they can do it is vertical long form, which just sounds weird in general. Like a minute is enough. Like, it's very rarely do I get sucked into a TikTok that's up to 3 minutes long. It's got to be like a movie clip that I'm like, okay, I'll watch this for a few minutes.
I have Emma Soros told me about it, and she was like, she was trying to encourage me. She's like, you should look into it. And so I have this like file in Final Cut Pro of one of my recent videos that did well for my channel size on YouTube. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try to edit this down in a way that doesn't look like it's a horizontal video that was cut for a vertical video.
I was about to ask, how do you do that? Because
I
that
have no
would
idea.
Be so tough.
This is how far you have to be.
Well, it's not that. So like, I'm a little bit lucky because like 50% of my new video format are animations that I do on my computer, like using like very flat graphics. It's like very like 2D. It's like the style. And so I'm like trying to, those are easier for me to like go back and convert rather than like refilm, you know what I mean? Like, and luckily like the Lego sets I'm doing are like kind of narrow and I'm taking like,
it works so well.
I'm taking modulars and I'm like shrinking them down. I don't know. I'll let you know if it works, because like if I, in an ideal world, like for me who doesn't watch short form content. So I'm technically that demographic that they're trying to target, right, on TikTok to like bring in that longer than a minute video.
Yeah.
And like Because right now, like, all I like on TikTok are, like, the people that are, like, organizing things in their fridge and, like, putting things away. Like, that's, like, what I like on TikTok.
Oddly satisfying stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Oddly satisfying, but, like, specific to, like, fridge organization.
Oh, goodness.
And so, it's a very, like, sliver. But anyway, so I'm like, okay, so if I'm the person who watches long form content, so they're probably going to target me. So I'm like, okay, let me make, like, a short form for me, which is still over a minute. Of what I just did, like, I'm taking my 5 minutes. Anyway, we'll see. I'm going to experiment with it and see how it works. But it's very weird. I agree with you. It's like kind of antithetical. You're like vertical, but long form. But who doesn't
have an idea for a solution? And hopefully these tech companies will do it. But the iPhones, they already have freaking three cameras on the back. So give me a fourth one. And the fourth one, what it's specifically meant to do is record landscape while the other one records vertical. So that way when you could record a video and get literally both shots at the same exact time in two separate files that it would save. So that way you could have essentially the same shot, but it wouldn't look cut from either way to the other.
I think that would work. They would both be kind of compromised. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like...
But, I mean, this one can switch back and forth depending on how you do it. So you should just be able to have two lenses oriented... to landscape, one's oriented to vertical.
But your subject's going to be off.
A little bit, I guess. You can still try to focus to one or the other, right?
I think the best way to think about vertical long is just record horizontally, being mindful of the vertical.
That's what Amp Bandit does, right?
And you have to
keep it in a third. You need to record with a grid. So you have a third.
Exactly.
Quite literally. Yeah.
Okay.
Camera, I could put the grid on the lines. I could just make sure I stay.
You just stay in the yep, vertical. That makes sense. Yeah. That'd probably keep me perfect for vertical.
I would just have to have like a laser. Like the construction.
Thank you for the educational talk, everybody. I appreciate it. I came to talk to you guys, and we're all educating episodes on YouTube. I love it.
I mean, it works. I mean, this is kind of stuff that we have to think about as creators in general. So it's not
well, because I think the reality is that like no one can just stay on their single platform. Not anymore. I don't think we're in that space. It's like I know there's like a lot of us that do YouTube content that like just use our Instagram for just like.
It's like you can, but it's dumb not to if you are flourishing on one so hard. That's how I felt about TikTok for so long. I felt like I was squandering my opportunity in that I have all this attention. I need to be using it and putting it other places. And I didn't do it as soon as I'd liked, but obviously things had started to work out well on Instagram and YouTube. Instagram last year, I ended up gaining a ton of followers through some of my, again, reels. Short form content there to save the day.
I think it will be interesting. Like, I'm curious, like, if you start doing the long form, which it sounds like you want to, that like, will you do it on the same channel that you grew from short form? Or will you make like a new YouTube channel on top of that? Because
I imagine I would just post it on the same, but if you want to talk about advantage versus disadvantages, I'd love to hear.
No, I'm, you know, honestly, we're still in that gray period where we're watching some people, you know, really benefit from that and some people not benefiting, you know, from it. And the other day, like my partner Sans has always been like super anti like mixing the two on YouTube. He's just been like, no, it's like the worst idea ever. You're gonna get all these empty viewers, like people who only like short form content. They have no desire to watch your long form. You're gonna have a complete disparity between it.
But then won't they get to just choose anyway what they watch from
kind
you?
Of I think I mean like it's interesting. I think like maybe every once in a while. I don't know. I think it's
but it's, like if you watch someone's long form, it's not like they're forcing you to watch their shorts in between when you're watching videos or the other way around.
I think it's the transition. It's getting that viewer that watches short form to like stop doing this motion. You know what I mean?
And like the subscriber feed
and hit your actual video feed. I think that's what people are struggling with.
I don't think they're supposed to be synergetic necessarily, but they can be separately successful. You're not, like you said, it's hard to get someone to click from their short form video and say, hey, go watch my full long form video, even though it's on the same platform and it's one click away. They're probably not going to do it. And that's just how short form content viewers work. It's on an average scale, they're going to be, their attention span's a little too short for that.
Yeah. It's almost more realistic that they would go and jump platforms to TikTok.
But short form, maybe. On the other side, there is people who will appreciate both and they would have never seen one or the other if they had not seen the first. So, do you know what I mean?
This guy, that's me.
Boop.
Yeah, I like just wonder what, you know, like, yeah, it's interesting. I think we're still in kind of those fledgling.
Especially how does the nature of live streaming work on YouTube? Is that like something people do daily, weekly, like with between big YouTubers? Is like live streaming a big thing in the YouTube culture as it is like in TikTok where it's like there's a lot of live stream aspects to it?
So are you,
I think it's more to build the foundation, like I think base.
Yeah, I think there's definitely
Live, especially like on TikTok. I like going live and interacting for 1 to 3 hours building a set or just hanging out and talking. So I'm wondering, is that like useful on YouTube? Because I like to be able to connect with people and obviously anywhere, but I feel like that's way better than if I was trying to stream Lego content on Twitch. You know what I mean? That would be ridiculous.
That's
not
a
ridiculous.
There's a spot for both.
It's a whole different word. It's a whole different area.
Yeah. I think, okay, so from my observation, like if you're talking about Lego specifically, which I assume you are because that's your content, there's this thing, like it's live streaming on YouTube is probably one of the best ways to get memberships. Like people kind of want
to like a paid subscription, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a monthly thing, and you can or can't, like people sometimes have access to additional information. Like some people have access to a Discord or
That's kind of the same on TikTok.
On TikTok, right? Yeah, right.
Everything they've done for a couple months or something like that.
You have access to specific videos, or you get to see videos a week early. Like that's what Cheesy Studios does, and he has a really successful membership group. I don't know if he goes live though, to be honest. Like I don't know.
I like doing it, so I want to do it. I just need to decide how often and that kind of deal. Is it worth doing an hour a day, 5 days a week, or is it better to do once a week for 3 hours where everybody knows it's coming once a week, like a TV show?
You won't grow from your live streams. Like you won't, you will.
So this leads me to my next question. Do you think with the growth of YouTube Shorts that they will eventually, because I don't know if this is true or not, I haven't scrolled through YouTube Shorts enough to notice, but if someone is live on YouTube and you're scrolling through Shorts and you come across one of their Shorts and they're currently live, does it highlight them like it does on TikTok that they're live? Do you know what I mean? Will it like bleep,
So like when you're on a short, does it like
what I'm asking is, can I bring people into a YouTube live from the short form FYP? Because if that's possible, or if it will become true in the future, that will be extremely powerful for short form creators. Because that's the whole reason that YouTube, or not YouTube, but TikTok lives make or break a certain live, is if you've got three viral videos in their prime that are just posted a day or two ago or whatever it is, and you go live, you're going to have a hell of a lot better or more of, you know, higher viewership than you would if not. So with YouTube, I'm wondering if that's true or not.
YouTube just did the, like, if you're live, you go up on a subscription feed to like anybody that's subscribed to you. So your video live will go straight to the top that you're live. That's a fairly new thing. So if that's successful, then I think that could be a possibility.
I think the new CEO is like really trying to incentivize live streaming. I only say that because they just got a bunch of new gamers on to have exclusivity to only be streaming. Like even though they're also obviously competing with TikTok for short form, they're still competing with Twitch. So, I think there's definitely like an element there. I'm curious. I don't know. I don't have that kind of inside information.
So we all know what's going on with TikTok, with litigations and stuff like that. And we already know what just happened to Instagram with the whole bonus reels are done. With Instagram going to focus back on on pictures and stuff. I mean, advertisement wise, I mean, it made sense. Like they weren't making any money and they're just losing it. So Meta just going to focus it back onto Facebook. And then, you know, YouTube, I mean, I don't know where, like, people that I know are doing well with their shorts, the payout doesn't seem to be extremely beneficial.
It's not, it's almost similar to TikTok. I've been saying my CPM is like pretty low. It's like in the cents.
What YouTube's currently focusing on, which is weird, is like podcasts. That's like the big push right now, is these really long form content. Videos and discussions, which makes sense in advertisement, like, you know, because you could throw as much in there as possible, like all over the place. But there's really currently only like 400,000 podcasts right now on like YouTube,
and like that's not a lot.
That's not a lot. Yeah. So, you know, they're putting their money elsewhere, which is interesting. So I'm curious to see. So like someone like you who's really grew your presence through short form, with TikTok in limbo, Instagram pretty much done, YouTube, we have no idea. It is smart to diversify, but how do you feel about all that?
It's rough, but it's one of those things I feel like if someone like me, I'm just going to stick with it and hope for the best. But at the same time, that's why I have the Lego resale business on the side with BrickLink, and I am affiliated with Whatnot, so that also helps with as far as like income. If the actual content's not bringing in money and stuff like that, because I haven't had a decent ad deal in, I think, over a year now. So it's been interesting, but I'm not necessarily worried, but I am being cautious, obviously, and planning my exit strategy. Because, like, you know, let's say TikTok does go down, right? Let's just assume the worst here. Like 150 million daily users, they're going to go somewhere, right?
Exactly.
They're not putting down their phones and going outside the day after it gets here, obviously.
No.
Some of them might for a few minutes. I might for a few minutes. And then I'll come back inside and get on Instagram. No, but that's exactly my point, is everybody will go and get on these other platforms, and then there will be reach and you'll see extra views possibly and stuff, especially with, you know, that many more people tumbling into those platforms. That's a lot of daily users. And then hopefully that just, you know, maybe not compensation from the platforms themselves, but hopefully that opens up opportunities for content creators for, you know, ad deals and other sorts of affiliated deals and stuff like that, where, oh, the views are just really high. It's a really high view, you know, let's call it an economy, a high view economy. You know, people would probably be more willing to spend money on ads and stuff like that on those platforms with creators. So it could be beneficial, and, you know, it's going to be a mass, like, for a lot of people, for sure. It's going to be terrible because they won't be able to have that same reach that they, you know, a lot of small businesses and stuff that they really depend on that TikTok algorithm that is specific to TikTok. You know, as YouTube, as much as I like to think YouTube Shorts is similar, I wouldn't expect it to be exactly and even close.
It doesn't feel the same.
They don't say Shorts maybe buy it. They say TikTok maybe buy it.
So you kind of mentioned it right now as we're closing in. You do BrickLink and Whatnot.
Yes,
so
that's where I sell.
You have another source of income, and that's you're technically how you came about, right? Like just selling stuff on BrickLink and then TikTok.
Yeah, that's essentially that was the order of events. Essentially,
yeah. But you still roll strong with BrickLink, and now Whatnot. How's that?
I've been very light on BrickLink. I was actually, my BrickLink store was closed for at least 6 months, and then as I've opened it up, it's been a little slower, but only because I really haven't like openly advertised about it. I've kind of been more focusing on Whatnot and advertising that on my pages. But with BrickLink, that was something that definitely helped my page grow, because I didn't originally post BrickLink content on TikTok. It wasn't until I essentially got the first customer who asked me to do a packaging video. And I was like, sure, I'll do a pack, you know, make a video out of packing this order up, and ended up posting that. And I think the first one did, I don't know if it went like viral, but it did well enough to where I continued to do them for people that asked. And then every 5 to 10 of those packaging videos that I would post, they'd blow up to like over 1 million views, and people would go crazy. I'd have my brick, you know, especially when I had good minifigures in stock, I would have like 40, 50 orders rolling in. Like just, I would click like the open on my store on BrickLink, and I would be live on TikTok, and I would literally have like orders just flooding in. It would be ridiculous.
Wow.
But now Whatnot, because mostly it's a little more minifigure driven. Obviously I can sell like whatever I want on there, but it's less. The only thing I can't or won't do is sell individual parts, because obviously BrickLink is just a gajillion times more efficient for that with the system they have. But Whatnot is great. I like to do the live streaming. I'm already a live streamer on TikTok, so it's kind of having that energy and to be live and for multiple hours straight sometimes. And then also being able to just sell minifigures the day of, because a lot of times you get what you would have for on BrickLink, but you don't got to wait around for orders to happen. You kind of just get rid of inventory in a day or two. It just depends on how quickly you get through it in stream. But it's a really fun like environment on Whatnot. Everyone's really friendly, all the viewers. Like there's not a lot of like heckling or anything like that. I've never really seen any negative comments, but otherwise it's a really interesting energy just to get on and hang out.
Yeah, the Whatnot thing has definitely exploded the past year and some change.
I think it's only been about a year now that they've been doing Lego on Whatnot, because I was one of the first people they ended up contacting when they opened up whatnot, see the Lego department. So I got on there then, and it's only been about a year, but yeah, it's been growing. There's a lot of different big sellers. So it's crazy. It's daunting as a Lego reseller myself, because you see other people and they're like, how do they get all this, dude? And, you know, I'm sure people think that about me with the minifigures that I get and sell, but, you know, it's all about sourcing.
I do wonder that. Like, where do you guys get all these Star Wars minifigures? Like, restock by the next time you sell.
I'll drop absolutely zero names, but I can give theories.
No, that's cool. You don't have to answer that question.
Hypothetical.
Yep. Do you ever think about, like, because now that I'm like kind of like piecing together what your interests are and what you do at the same time, I'm like going through the genres of Lego YouTubers, and there's a good number of like Lego economic channels. I'm excluding Jabbo. You're a different category when you listen to
this. You know what's funny is I saw that he'd been on the show and stuff, and mm-hmm. he was actually one of the first YouTube channels that I watched when I was telling you, like, I was about 26 getting back into Lego. And I was like, oh, cool. People are doing this on the internet? Like, yeah. I'm like, yes, oh, my God. Yeah. And I saw him and Jang Bricks were some of the people I watched originally. But Job, I love watching his, because he had his Pablo's. That's what I was going to get to, is that's what sprung the idea for my packaging video, because someone had asked and I was like, you know, I should totally. I've seen someone do that on YouTube and people liked watching their stuff get packaged. So I'm like, why don't I just do that? But on TikTok, and I've actually mentioned this before to people, like that idea for my packaging videos on TikTok literally came from him on YouTube and his Pablo's.
And what? No one hated on that, right?
Yeah, no one.
No, I didn't hear one word. Which was funny is because I would have people message me and ask me, hey, like, can I do like packaging video style videos? Like, I'm like, I don't know in the damn format, man. Go for it. You know what I mean? Make a way.
I could lease it out to you.
Lease it out to you, yeah.
Have your people come. No, I'm just kidding.
If you look at that genre that I was talking about, they're more like info type based channels, and they're very dry, and they're, you know, some of them are really good, but no one is coming at it at an entertainment kind of perspective, which would be like interesting to like play with as an idea, since that's something that you love doing.
That's honestly where I would probably start to dabble.
Yeah, if you could figure out a way to make hoarding Lego and selling it interesting and fun, it might work. I don't see much of that. I see Lego economic channels literally say, this is going up, this is going down, you should hoard this, do that, blah, 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 done.
And that's more from an investment standpoint, mm-hmm. not like a level of, like an interest level or a shock value, or you're coming to be entertained. You're not going there to be entertained. You're going there to like, what's the nitty gritty on the situation so I can, you know, get a good deal or whatever it is. It's more like pure informational.
But if you can make it,
which isn't bad, obviously.
No, but if you can make it in a way where you, because it looks like you want to be in front of the camera, you want to showcase your personality, because you're kind of
And that's the thing I've always thought about. There's a lot of channels that like do or don't show their faces, and I've always been like, I don't mind, and I don't prefer one way or the other, but I don't know what other people prefer. But I know showing your face, you know, is the straight way to, you know, having people be a part of your personality and understand your personality a little more than just hearing your voice. So it's always something I've been more forward to doing, and having, you know, being on camera for most of my content.
That's true. Facial expressions say a lot.
So what are your goals then for your channel then, if you were to lay it down right now?
Basically, you just get a foundation for long form, get at least 1 to 3 solid video ideas/formats that I could reproduce once a week. Essentially,
a series of some kind.
One of them that I have in mind is like garage sailing sucks in Arizona. I'll just say that. Like, even when there is like community garage sales in my area, you'll go to them, it's just like 1.5 tables full of some clothes and this and that, and you almost never find anything good. You'll drive around for 4 hours and there's nothing. But what I do want to do, and I like to do, and it's not anything lucrative, I don't recommend it going, you know, trying to make money, but going to Goodwills and finding Lego. That is something I can do in Arizona, because apparently they don't ship them off to the online facilities like they do at a lot of other Goodwills around the US, so they can sell them on their websites and auction off and stuff. But my Goodwills end up having pretty decent amount of stuff if I'm diligent and I go looking at like 3 or 4 of them in a day. So I plan on doing like some basically Goodwill Lego hunting blogs, where I just go, say, strap a camera to my chest and do that kind of style content, like the garage sailing content kind of deal, but with thrifting, you know, thrifting garage sailing content, where it's just POV kind of deal. Other than that, kind of like what you were talking about, finding a way to make like Lego economics maybe interesting in a way, or going over maybe like doing top this or that minifigures, but with the focus on the value, like most expensive this kind of figures or most expensive kind of this kind of parts from 80s sets or something like that. You know what I mean? Like it could be very niche and very specific, but it highlights what I like to talk about, which is specific piece and minifigure and set values and stuff like that. Otherwise, it's kind of just going to be experimentation. I don't have a lot of ideas right off the top of my head, but it's especially at first, it's just gonna be, let's try this. And all that while I'm going to be getting better at editing so that it doesn't even matter what I'm making, as long as I'm kind of just trying new stuff out and then sticking with maybe one or two consistent things until I figure out what to do after that. That's kind of what I do with TikTok is, you know, I started, like, a lot of my original videos were what I called minifigure highlights. And it was literally like an 8 to 10 second video of a minifigure really up close on my front facing camera. And I would have a little background for it. And I had a little spinny thing, which I actually, funny enough, use for my whatnot auctions now to display minifigures. I would spin a little turntable around. So the shot was like the whole minifigure was like the shot in the TikTok. It was like a really zoomed in, really high quality video. And it would just be spinning around for 8 seconds. There'd be a cool Star Wars song playing in the back. It was a Star Wars figure. And it would say what set it came from and how much it was worth. And I posted like, at one point, like I was posting like 8 to 10 of those a day on TikTok when I was first growing. It was crazy. But those were, at the time, you know, that was the best I could do, but low quality, high quantity is what I was focusing on essentially at the time, because my quality couldn't get any better than that. So why not just pump out more of I could?
That makes sense.
And now, nowadays, obviously, struggle to get out one every like 2 days if I'm lucky, just from me trying to come up with an idea that I think is solid enough and shoot it in a way that's looks nice. And if I miss some, I like to record during the day a lot of times if I can for the lighting, but other than that, I'm like, oh damn it, I don't know what I'm gonna do today.
Well, hopefully, like, you find what you're comfortable doing for the long form content. It looks like you're kind of ironing it out right now. I think the economic thing is a good, you know, something that you're comfortable in already, and then you already do on the side with the rest of the hobby with selling, so it only makes sense to make that a focus if it works for you. I mean, right now you're in play mode to see where your analytics go and what you enjoy doing in the end of the day. So with that being said, does anyone else have anything before, is there any last minute plugs you want to share?
I will say I'm going to 3, possibly 4 brick shows this year. The first of which, I believe in chronological order, would be Brick World Chicago.
Woo!
Which is in, so I'll be going to there. If anyone else is going, hit me up. I'd love to meet you. Then after that, I believe, and this is the one that may be on the chopping block for me, is Brick Rodeo in Texas. And I believe that one's July. And I really want to go to that one because that's where Ethan the Artisan, he lives in Texas. And I met him last year at Brick Fair Virginia. So I want to go to his like hometown show and meet him over there and hang out with him. And then other than that, later in the year in August is Brick Fair Virginia again. So I'll be going back. And then at the end of August is Brick Slopes, Yay. Utah. And that one I actually just got on board with. And that one I have, if you're interested, I just got set up with a discount code for tickets. Can I plug that kind of stuff?
You got a little...
But Epic Bricks won on the Brick Slopes checkout if you want to get 10 or 15% off your public and... fall passes essentially. So if you want to go to Brick Slopes Utah, you can do that, and I'll be there obviously doing I'll probably end up doing a whatnot auction from there. I'll do a huge like Star Wars auction blowout type deal. And then other than the brick shows, the only other way I can plug myself I guess is go check me out on whatnot, Epic Bricks on whatnot. I do weekly streams every Thursday at 7 p.m Eastern, at least that's the plan from here on out on whatnot, as far as my auctions are concerned. I do those every week. And also on top of the auctions, I usually, especially on the Thursday auctions, I run giveaways, and those can range from like a $20 set and all the way up to like last, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, I gave away like the $170 play scale Millennium Falcon. So there's all sorts of fun stuff to be had and won and bought. So appreciate it if you could check me out there.
That being said, let's roll that music. Everyone have a good night. Peace. Cool, man. Thank you. That was cool. No one leave yet. It's still loading.